Good morning, and welcome to St. James Westminster. We are very glad that you have decided to listen in. My name is the Reverend Hannah Scorer. I am the assistant curate here at St. James Westminster, and I will be leading the service of the word. Our music this morning is provided by Stephen Hollowitz, our music director, and our vocal soloist is Paul Grambo. We have with us our sound engineer extraordinaire, John Gardy, who is making everybody sound wonderful. If you have a chance, check out our website, check out our Facebook page, check out our YouTube channel where all our Sunday school videos are. However you want to contact us, please get a hold of us. And I would now invite you to take a moment, take a deep breath, and prepare yourselves for worship. Almighty and ever-living God, increase in us your gift of faith that forsaking what lies behind and reaching out to what is before, we may run the way of your commandments and win the crown of everlasting joy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Sing to Jesus, is the scepter, is the throne. Alleluia, is the triumph, is the victory alone. Hark the songs of peaceful Zion, out of every nation, hath redeemed us by his blood. Alleluia, bread of heaven, thou on earth our food, our stay. Sinful flee to thee from day to day. Intercessor, friend of sinners, earth's redeemer, plead for me. Where the songs of all the sinless sweep across the grave.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, we are able. Then Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, you know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be a slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life ransom for many. The Gospel of Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My friends in Christ, I want to start this sermon with a question. A question that I think this passage and really the gospel itself begs us to answer. Who will you serve? I don't know if that gave you some sort of feeling, me asking you that, but I'll ask it again. Who will you serve? Now, I ask that first because I think it's integral to what we are reading in Mark's gospel this morning, and because I think that question, the call posed by Jesus' comments to his disciples, to us, runs against much that we hold dear. As a culture, we tend to prize freedom and accomplishment and autonomy and self-determination, and I could go on. What we value is that feeling of liberty, that sense that we are the makers of our own destiny, which is why, if we slow down and ask the question seriously, we'll recognize how much it grates against our deeply held beliefs and culturally formed sensibilities. One of the most pernicious illusions of our culture is that we are, indeed, free and autonomous beings who can live independent of all bonds of loyalty or devotion or service. I mean, I could just pull out my phone and bring up my social media accounts and find any number of examples of people who seem to believe that they've emerged from the primordial ooze alone and without ties to anyone, and therefore are not responsible for anyone else's life or their feelings. Honestly, I cannot even begin to fathom how much time our society spends telling itself that we don't have to serve anyone. Yet the assertion that you will always serve something or someone, whether you know it or not, sits here at the very heart of not only today's passage, but much of Mark's gospel. If you notice, there's a very careful literary structuring of this larger section that we've been working through in Mark's gospel the past few weeks, with Jesus' march to Jerusalem and his three announcements of his impending death. We have in Mark, back in chapter 8, Jesus curing a blind man at Bethsaida, which includes Peter's declaration about Jesus and Jesus' first prediction of his death, which Peter doesn't get, and he rebukes Jesus, who says the infamous line, "Get behind me, Satan." Then we have in chapter 9, Jesus repeating his declaration that he will die in Jerusalem, a pronouncement that terrifies his disciples, until, of course, they start arguing about who is the greatest, because, again, they don't get it. Jesus' words don't completely sink in. And then he offers them the image of a child, and he tells them that leadership and greatness are about welcoming the vulnerable. And now here we are in chapter 10, and Jesus is going to say this once more. He says it once more in the verses just before what we heard this morning, that he is going to Jerusalem to die. And again, the disciples don't get it. What do we have? We have James and John asking for special places of honor, and then the rest of the disciples getting cranky at their self-interested pushiness. Jesus' words still haven't taken hold yet, so he says as plainly and clearly as possible, to be great is to serve others. And he repeats, the first is to be the last. And then after this will come the healing of another blind man, Bartimaeus. And so it's interesting how these healings of blindness bracket Jesus' three announcements of his death and the disciples' continued failure to understand and Jesus' ongoing teaching about what constitutes greatness. I think Mark tells the story this way because he knows that Jesus' words, and in fact his whole life, run contrary to our ideas about power, leadership, and societal understandings about life. They're things we're blind to. In today's reading, for instance, James and John think greatness comes from status and power. That's what they want from Jesus. But Jesus, in response, points out that there's no escaping service. You will either willfully and joyfully serve others, or you will be a slave to your illusions, that you can be free and secure your future through status and power. An argument that would be perfectly situated in our own modern society. But again, it takes time for Jesus' words to reach us. Time for our blindness to heal. So again, I'll ask you, who will you serve? Will you serve the voices of culture that say you can be free, must be free, on your own and at any cost? Or the voice of Jesus that calls you to find your true self through service to your neighbor? Will you exist with the illusion of no ties to bind you to others, but full of strings to capitalism and hierarchy and prejudice and social taboos? Will you live in the inherently relational and social nature of those made in the image of the triune God? We are made to be in relationship, and we discover our wholeness when we join ourselves to the lives of those around us. When we recognize that God delights in our relationships, we can see ourselves as we are meant to be, inextricably linked to the beauty and wonder of all creation. And so, perhaps that's also how we might interpret Jesus' description of his life, as giving himself as a ransom for many. Not as Jesus buying us back from God or the devil, but instead as the ultimate sacrifice to our delusion of self-sufficiency. That his life and death are the example of the power of losing oneself in sacrifice to those we love. That we find new life in love and commitment and generosity. My dear friends in Christ, I will leave you with this. Who will you serve? Who will you love? Amen.
Yeah.
Now, as our Savior has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be amongst you and remain with you always. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.